This is the 12th and final message in Bishop John W. Howe's series entitled Signs and Wonders in the Power of the Spirit. This message is called Ministry to the Lord and Others.
We've done 11 meditations on a single paragraph of Scripture. Actually, we've brought in a lot of other things as well. But basically, the paragraph in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. And I'm nearly at the end. I want to put that into a slightly larger context tonight. We've been looking at the gifts or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit as discussed or mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and as demonstrated in the life and ministry of Jesus. And for those of you who haven't been here, you really need to get the tapes. The thesis has been that Jesus ministered in the power of the Spirit. It wasn't primarily because he was the Son of God, but it was because he was the Anointed One. He ministered under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and so his ministry becomes a model for us, because that same Spirit is promised to us. It's the birthright of all Christians. Let me mention that this is only one of several lists of gifts in the New Testament. That would be another study in and of itself. There are six major lists of gifts. And then in addition to that, there are other gifts mentioned here and there all the way through the New Testament, especially the epistles. So it would be quite incorrect to say this is the gifts of the Spirit. This is a list of some of the gifts. This is what the gifts are like, okay? This is not the totality of the gifts of the Spirit. By my count, there are at least 32 specific things mentioned as gifts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. At least 32, and I say that because it's hard to tell which are synonyms of each other. But there's a whole plethora of gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are some of them. These are some of the very important gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, what remains to be said is this. Even though we've spent all this time taking a very hard look at these nine gifts, they are not the real focal point of the ministry. They are the tools, the equipment, the enablement, the empowerment of ministry. But the focus of ministry is what? Jesus first. How many of you know we minister to Jesus? Not too many hands went up. Jesus said that the Father is seeking people who will worship him. He's looking. He's more eager to meet you in worship than you are to meet him. He's longing for folks who would worship him. And Jesus, likewise. We bless the Lord. Do you remember when David says over and over and over again, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." It's as if he's speaking to himself. He turns around and faces himself. You know, and says, whether you feel like it or not, sometimes we feel like it, and it comes very easily. Sometimes we're down in the dumps, or we're distracted, or we're dealing with some problem, and we don't feel very much like it. That's when we've got to address ourselves and say it's a matter of the will, not a matter of the feelings. I command you, self, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, think about what I just said. Bless the Lord. And we go to church, or we say our prayers by the bedside at night, or however we do it, and we say, "Oh God, bless this, bless that, bless him, bless her, bless me, bless this endeavor," right? Right? And he's waiting for us to bless him. Got it? Focus of ministry is number one, Jesus himself. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we're blessing them. The gifts of the Holy Spirit enable us to do that. That's one dimension, and the other is each other. The focus of the ministry is each other. members of the body and outside it. The gifts of the Spirit are to equip us to do the work of ministry to the Lord and to others. One of the major reasons, probably the major reason for the writing of 1 Corinthians was that they had gotten so intoxicated with spiritual gifts that they had forgotten the purpose of them, which is to serve. And Paul says at the very beginning of this book, you have been blessed in every way. You are lacking in nothing. You have all the gifts, not only these nine, you got all 32 and probably some that didn't even make it into any list. You've got the gifts of the Holy Spirit and you've totally missed the point. You've gotten so caught up in how exciting and fun and pride-filling it is to have supernatural gifts in ministry that you've forgotten the point of the gifts. Now, it's good to be excited about the gifts. In fact, hold your finger here if you're in 1 Corinthians. I want to come right back to it. There's a prayer that Peter and the other apostles prayed at the very beginning of the book of Acts, and it's one that I come back to time and time again in Acts chapter 4, when they've been forbidden to preach the gospel. They've been imprisoned for preaching the gospel. They get released, they immediately go and they pray with their friends, with some of the other disciples and apostles, and they pray this wonderful prayer in the end of Acts, middle of Acts chapter 4. And look at verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. They're coming against us. They're forbidding us. They're threatening us. They're threatening that they're going to do the same thing to us that they did to Jesus. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to thy servants to speak thy word with all boldness while thou stretchest out thy hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of thy holy servant, Jesus. That's some prayer, isn't it? Doesn't say, look on their threats and get rid of them, Lord. Doesn't say, get us out of this mess. It says, give us boldness to preach your word. And as we do that, we preach your word with all boldness. Will you please stretch out your hand with healings and signs and wonders? That's my prayer. That's my prayer, that the Lord will give me boldness to preach his word, and then he'll do his thing to accompany it. Signs and wonders. Praise God for signs and wonders. Praise God that he's distributing gifts of his Spirit once again in our generation. But the point is, when he does that, he equips us to serve. And the Corinthians had really missed that. They were so proud. They would look down on each other. They'd say, wow, look what I got. You don't have it. You've got some secondary thing, and I got the real thing here. Pay attention. If I have a ministry in the area of healing, who gets the gift? The person who gets healed. I don't really even have the gift. I'm just a conduit for it. If I bring forth a word of prophecy and it blesses you, or it rebukes you, or it directs you, strictly speaking, I don't really have a gift of prophecy. God may use me in that way, but you got the gift. I'm just the conduit. And that answers a very interesting question. Sometimes people say, what is the most important gift? Do you know what the most important gift is? The one that's needed. The one that's needed. If I've got a wonderful ministry of healing, which is not to say that I've got it, but the Lord is using me in that area, and you're not sick, you see? Some guy has a powerful gift of evangelism, and we're all converted already. Okay? You know, maybe what's needed is a gift of generosity. Maybe there's somebody who is hungry, Maybe what's needed is a gift of service, a gift of hospitality, a gift of food. The gift that's needed is the one that's the most important. But the problem is that these Corinthian Christians got so proud of whatever their particular gifts were that they were all divided from each other. And so Paul goes on from this paragraph to develop his principal metaphor for the church. And you know it. Metaphor of the body, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For just as the body is one, the human body, the physical body is one body, and yet it has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are still one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And therefore, there are two things that we must not and may not say if we are faithful to the Lord and faithful to His Word. The first is, I'm not needed. We may not say that. Look at verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If I don't have your gift, if I don't have your ministry, if I don't have whatever area of service or anointing or blessing that you're operating in, if I'm jealous of that, and I say, well, I can't do that. I'm nothing. I've missed the point. I may not say that. I may not say that. I am needed. I'm part of the body. You know, I don't think very much about my little toe. Until I get a thorn in it. Do you know my whole body gets concerned about my little toe when I've got a thorn in it? Because it's part of the body. Get it? I may not say that. Well, I can't get up in front of people and teach or give a testimony or do this or that or the other thing. I can't. Hey. What can you? Find out what you're supposed to do. The little toe is there for a purpose. Helps me stay upright. Second thing I may not say is even, in a way, even more important, verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Second thing I may not say is, you are not needed. I may not always understand the function of every part of my body. I don't need to understand it. God put it there. It's His business. He knows what it's there for. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are enablings. They are equippings. They are tools for doing the work that God calls us to do. Picture a father giving his son a marvelous set of tools and setting up just a wonderful workshop, okay? And I mean, he does it right. He's got bright light, he's got heat, and he's got air conditioning, and he's got ventilation, and there's a tool for every imaginable purpose. Planes and lathes and saws and hammers and vices and routers, sanders and polishers, electrical tools, wrenches and plumbing tools. He's got braces and benches and welders and so on and so on and so on. And the son keeps bringing his friends over to see this wonderful workshop that his dad gave him. And they come in and they just go, oh, wow! Until one day one kid comes over and he says, but when are you going to make something with it? The point of the tools is to make something with them. Bless somebody with them. When you really understand that, I think it will inform the rest of chapter 12 in a way that is quite different from what is usually said about it. Paul goes on to make this statement, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body which we think less honorable, we invest with the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. How is that passage usually treated? The way I've usually heard it is something like this, that those whose ministries are very quiet and behind the scenes are just as important as those who have the great center stage kind of ministries. Is that what you've heard? That's true. But I don't think that's what Paul's saying. I think he's saying that those whose spiritual gifts are not yet very well developed should not be put down. I have no need of you. Nor should they be allowed to say of themselves, you have no need of me. But rather, we should be encouraging each other in the very business that is at hand. And if you've got a little tiny prophecy, and it seems a very insignificant prophecy, all you can say is, God loves you, maybe. Maybe that's all you can say. God loves you. You have the sense that God is giving you those three words to say, God loves you. We welcome that. We don't despise that. We treat it with great honor. And we encourage it so that you begin to come into the ministry of prophecy. Do you see what I'm saying? When my daughter was 6 years old, she drew a little picture of herself reaching out like this, and with a little cartoon, you know, bubble above the head, I love you, Daddy. It was not a very good picture. She was six. It has hung in a place of honor ever since. I honor that little budding effort that she offered back to me. And that's how the Father looks at our attempts to move into the equipping of His Spirit. He welcomes it and He encourages it, and He calls upon us to do that with and for and to each other. The body needs to welcome and honor and encourage the first halting efforts of its members to express their gifts, because in only that way will they be developed, and they are indispensable. And so he goes on to say in chapter 14, verse 26, what then? When you come together, each one, each and every one, has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. And we might well add a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a gift of healing, a word of prophecy. Discernment. Each and every one comes bringing whatever it is the Holy Spirit has given you to bring, willing to share it, ready to share it, available to the Holy Spirit. Now think for just a second. I'm almost at the end. Think for just a second. If each of us came with all those things, it would be a very long meeting. Right? So evidently, each one comes ready to share, but not everyone will share on any given occasion. Good evening. Hello? Are you there? Let each one come prepared. If it is appropriate, if there seems to be the encouragement by the Holy Spirit to share something tonight, I'm available, Lord. And let the Lord weave the pieces together into the tapestry of praise and blessing that He sees fit tonight. Got it? How do you prepare for this service? Do you just come rushing in at the end of the week, you know? I mean, absolutely strung out and fighting the traffic on I-4 and distracted all over the place and didn't get any supper tonight because there was a big traffic jam down at... Right? Or do you spend the day readying your spirit? Maybe praying, maybe fasting? Then you don't need to worry about missing dinner. Lord, what are you giving me for tonight to share? Many of you have noticed that Karen, my wife, has a remarkable ministry in the area of prophecy, and she prayed for years that God would give that to her. And he really has begun to do so. And do you know that as she prepares for Friday evening, she begins to ask God, usually in the middle of the week, Lord, do you have a word for this Friday? And she begins to get a sense, sometimes days in advance, of a word that might be shared. She doesn't always share it, but she prepares herself. And I am frequently astonished because I almost never tell her in advance what I'm going to be teaching about. I am astonished at how frequently the Lord will give, either through her or somebody else, a word of prophecy that just confirms the teaching for that night. That's what I mean about allowing the Lord to weave it together. Come prepared. Be willing to take the risk of sharing what you sense the Lord is giving to you. Now, that's in the meeting, and of course he gives the gifts of his Spirit for one-on-one relationships and all kinds of other experiences as well. But I want to end with this encouragement. It's focused on the meeting itself. When you come together, come prepared. If the Lord gives opportunity, I am available for him to use me. His Holy Spirit indwells me. He can speak a word through me. He can give a testimony. He can start a prayer. He can give a song. He can do whatever he wants to do. And we'll welcome that. We'll welcome that. And we'll encourage each other, all right? And so we'll learn to grow in the things of the Spirit. And it may well be that the end result is that as we become increasingly bold to speak and to hear his word and to come under it, the Lord will stretch forth his hand to heal with signs and wonders to the praise of his name. Amen. Amen.